Elizabeth Rosenthal joins us again on WGN Radio from Kaiser Health News. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me to talk about this topic. Makes me really angry.
Why do you say that?
Well, because getting a vaccine and a massive national vaccination campaign shouldn't resemble Hunger Games, or as I call it, like knock out your neighbor, and that's what it's become. And so many of the people who most need the vaccination and are most vulnerable to COVID are not able to get it. And many of the people who are getting it are getting it. I mean, we heard this morning from a tipster who said, hey, people at my college who are undergraduates, because their college is connected to a medical center, have somehow been able to kind of not quite lie, but connive their way into getting it so they could go on a spring break and not feel nervous about it. You know, it's just so wrong.
We've likened it here in Chicago to the way it used to be when you wanted to get concert tickets and you'd open up a bunch of phone lines and browsers and you just click on and hope you can get the tickets. Only in this case, it's the vaccines and it's at the county health department or Walgreens website for that matter. And it's just luck of the draw. There seems to be no system to it.
Yes, that's right. And I have, you know, just been waiting for the moment where I see people scalping vaccine appointments for money, because it's gotten that competitive and every man for himself and desperate. And of course, you know, the winners in that kind of competition are often the people with money, time, connections, and, you know, really high-speed internet and a computer with the latest web browser. It's just, you know, so disorganized, and it makes me disappointed in our inability and the defunding of our national public health system, which is part of the problem, and also, frankly, disappointed in many Americans who are not really, seem to have almost no sense of kind of public spiritedness.
Well, my thought about this has been that even if we did have a better cue, a better way, a fair way, a more sensible way, you'd still be waiting a while, right? I mean, the biggest problem, first and foremost, is it not, Elizabeth, is that there's just not sufficient vaccine to meet the demand.
Yes, it's a combined problem. There is a limited amount of vaccine at this point that's being ramped up, and it should be ramped up more quickly. But, you know, most places' solution to the limits has been, well, we just want to get shots into arms, so we're going to open up. And if you open up with a very limited supply, you just create chaos. I mean, I would far prefer what some other countries, some regions have done, which is to say, you know, this is your place in line. You can expect a shot sometime in March. We will tell you when. And we all believe that that system will work. If I know I'm getting my shot, you know, April 13th, I'll wait. What the problem is now, and I don't entirely blame people, is they think it's chaos, and they think if they just wait and be a good citizen and stand online, they are just going to be knocked out of the line or, you know, never get a shot.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make.
They're just going to be the suckers waiting forever.
Yeah, right. It's not that they're, I mean, sure, that there's not enough is the first problem, but the second problem is it doesn't seem to be a fair or even any kind of plan at all to distribute it. But then how do you do that? I mean, does the federal government use Social Security numbers? Do you leave it up to states? And the more decentralized it gets, the more probability or possibility you have for conniving, as you say.
Absolutely. And, you know, California, one state, 58 counties, even more cities, you know, probably hundreds of different ways that cities, counties are handing out these vaccines or prioritizing them for those who want to get vaccinated. So, yes, a central plan would have been better. Part of the problem, of course, is if there were a central plan, that central plan should have been developed, 7 months ago when we started seeing the possibility of a vaccine on the horizon. The new Biden administration inherited chaos on that front. And So everyone is kind of playing catch as catch can and trying to figure out how do you rein in this total chaos, because you really don't have time to start from scratch. I mean, if you want, you could have said early on, look, there's Medicare in this country. We know every person in this country who's over 65. If that is our priority group, then we are going to, you know, we're going to vaccinate those people first. We know where they live. We send them letters every month. We could do it that way. That the cat's out of the bag for doing that now, I think. Although I hope not entirely. I hope we can rein in the chaos, and I hope the Biden administration and maybe the CDC can say to everyone out there, you know, hey, stop the chaos. Let's do it this way. And it would be a whole lot better. But
well, that makes me wonder, should I be asking you how should we have done it, or what should we do now, given what we have? You know,
well, that's really the hard question. I can say one thing. I live in Washington, D.C., which has, you know, which A, is a small place. So it's what we see in states, which makes it more, you know, even more complicated, is that the states are giving out some doses. The cities are giving out some doses. Pharmacies are giving out some doses. Hospitals are giving out some doses. So you don't have to sign up on one website. You have to sign up on 20 to see, you know, to get in line and see which one comes first. A nice example in D.C. is, you know, it's a city of 700,000 people. There is a very centralized process which tells you in very transparent terms, you know, next Tuesday there are going to be 2,415 vaccines released, and they are available to people over 65 or healthcare workers in these zip codes, meaning zip codes that have high rates of COVID, high rates of minority populations who are more vulnerable, and high rates of essential workers. There, you feel like there's a logic here, so people are a little more calm. My friends in New York and my friends in Chicago, where there's a lot more chaos, are spending all their time signing up on websites in the hopes that someday one of them will come through. And that's just a terrible way to do
Elizabeth,
this.
Elizabeth, I'm here to tell you that is 100% true. It is, and I, there the things, there are things that Illinois and Chicago have done really well. I mean, like model good, especially early in the run. Now it just seems to have devolved into chaos, as you say. One of the reasons, though, we feel is because we just don't have the vaccine to go around. So all of these places don't, none of them have it. It's not that we have a distribution problem. We just don't have the vaccine. And we're wondering, why aren't we getting more of the vaccine here in Chicago?
Well, first of all, there's the production problem, right? Why isn't more being produced? And that is a good question, given that taxpayers paid billions of dollars to ramp up production, create factories. But some of it is a genuine, you know, it takes time to produce drugs, especially a new drug. Also, there were many bottlenecks that were not anticipated that should have been. For example, the little glass vials that vaccine gets stored in. Oh, there aren't enough of those. Like, didn't Operation Warp Speed think about that? Apparently not. So there are a lot of bottlenecks that slow production of vaccine, the distribution. You know, President Trump or ex-former President Trump liked to say, you know, I have a general in charge of this, so it'll be fine. He does logistics. That was great in the sense that Gus Perna, the general in the Army, he controls logistics all the way down the supply chain. In the U.S., he doesn't, right? So the vaccines are kind of tossed out to the states, and then they trickle down to the cities according to some unexplained algorithm, and there's a lot of inequity, and we do need a much more transparent and equitable look at how they're being distributed. Now, the good news is, you know, we have two more vaccines probably that are coming on the market or should come on the market soon. I mean, one thing that has been mystifying to us at Kaiser Health News is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has been approved in Europe and in Canada, has not been approved here. That's a one-shot vaccine. Having a supply of that would help. So we are not, like, pushing all the levers we should to increase supply, which would, to some extent, shut down on some of the competition.
Yeah.
But for the coming months, there will not be adequate supply to meet demand, because demand is, frankly, everyone wants to get out of this now, including kids who just want to go on spring break. So we need a much more rigorous system for deciding where we will use that limited supply.
This will make you crazy. Early in the... Not that long ago, I suggested that we should give it to baseball players and umpires, because then they would be able to play the game. And even though there's a young, rich men who probably have a better chance than most of us, let's go ahead and give them, and then they'd be able to play a 162-game schedule, and then people would be able to watch baseball. That's our pastime. It'll give us something to do. I don't think that 4,000 young men getting the vaccine is going to entirely upset the metric for 328 million Americans. So let's go ahead and we will just consider that an investment in our entertainment in America. What do you think of my idea?
Well, there is a lot, at least there's a logic to that. And as you say, there are a limited number of baseball players, professional baseball players. So if it could be, the limits could be set very clearly in that way, I think that could work, and that would help. That's a decision that probably has to be made nationally, right? Because baseball is national. The problem happens, and we've seen it at hospitals, we've seen it at nursing homes, we've seen it when a city will say educators can be, teachers can be vaccinated. You know, some people who, you know, what they mean clearly by that is that teachers who are teaching kids in a classroom. But when you open it up in a somewhat ambiguous way, people will game the system. So someone will raise their hand and say, oh, I tutor a kid on Thursday afternoons. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. There was a scandal in New York, which I loved because it was so bad, you know. A SoulCycle instructor signed up and got a vaccine as, you know, a healthcare personnel. Well, yeah, that's kind of pushing the boundaries for me of healthcare personnel, even though, you know, spinning is great, but.
That's not what they had in mind. That's not what they had in mind.
No.
Well,
exactly.
Here's the last paragraph of your piece in the New York Times Sunday. Yes, jumping the vaccination line matters. In Britain, citizens are notified according to risk group when it is their turn to book an appointment. They don't have to play knock out your neighbor to score one, and we should not either. I'm out of time, but I want people to read that and keep in mind some of the things you're calling on all of us to pay attention to. And hopefully we'll get more of the juice in Chicago. It's nice to talk to Elizabeth Rosenthal. She has a piece in the New York Times, and she is the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health News. Nice to hear your voice, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Stay well.